Our scripture this morning is taken from Revelation chapter 14, verse 12, and it says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we come to you this Sabbath morning, worshiping your name and just being really thankful because you give us the blessing and the opportunity of being here at church to worship your name. Please be with us as we connect with your word. Be with Robin as he speaks words of life to us, and bless this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you very much, Sam. We all need Jesus, don't we? Well, if we weren't in the situation we are in, I would have had some songs for us to sing today because our topic is faith. And there are 39 hymns in our hymnal that are in the faith trust section. And some of the ones I would have chosen was "Great is Thy Faithfulness," "Faith of Our Fathers," "Oh, My Faith Looks Up to Thee," "Oh, for a Faith," and one of my favorites, "Faith is the Victory." So, in your mind, you can sing those songs for your song service today. Now, I'm naturally a curious person, and I didn't think about this last time I was up here, but this picture I have up here, I don't know if any of you know where this picture was taken. My wife does, because she's been there. But I chose this picture because it has so many memories for me. This is about 90 miles south of here. It's in the Marble Mountain Wilderness area. That is Marble Mountain. And you drive about 90 miles the last... Well, it used to be the last seven were on gravel. Now they've paved it. So you can drive right up to the trailhead on paved road now. But it's a six-mile uphill hike to get to where I took this picture. And I've taken lots of family and friends and hundreds of students into the Marble Mountain Wilderness area through the years. And so this is one of my favorite pictures. And it just reminds me of the good times and all of the family and friends that I have spent time with. Our topic today is faith. And when I started this, I said, well, okay, how many times do you find the word faith in the Bible? Another thing I'm curious about is those types of things. And so I went and looked it up. And, of course, it also throws in there words like faithful, faithfulness, faithfully, those types of things. But I was surprised. It is found 336 times in the Bible, some form of the word faith. But I was surprised that there are only 56 of them in the Old Testament. Only 56 times in the Old Testament. And most of those times is talking about, or many of those times, I should say, is talking about God being faithful. So faithful is the most common one, 28 times, and then faithfulness, faithfully. The word faith is only found twice. And we'll look at one of those today in our talk. The New Testament gets the rest of them, 280. And again, you have a few of them that are other things, like faithful is found 53 times. But faith, just that single word, is found 222 times in the New Testament. That's once in every 28 verses, compared to the Old Testament, one out of every 413 verses. So faith is a really important thing in the New Testament. They talk about it a lot. And there's some places in the Bible that it focuses on that. Romans chapters 3 and 4 is one of those places. You find it 7 times in Romans 3, 9 times in Romans 4. Galatians chapter 3, 12 times in that one chapter. James chapter 2, 13 times. And of course, the faith chapter has it the most. Hebrews 11, you find it there 25 times. So, today we're going to look at several questions about faith. First of all, what is faith? Why do we need faith? Where does faith come from? How can faith grow? What good is faith? And how do I know if I have faith? And before we actually get started with that, I'd like to take a moment and pray with you. Let's bow our heads. Father, again, we want to come to you and ask for your blessing on our service today. Lord, especially I pray that the words that I speak will be your words, and that they'll hear your voice, not mine. Lord, we want to have more faith. We want to believe in you. We want to be ready when you come to take us home. So be with us now. Send your Spirit to guide us and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray, and your will be done in all things. Amen. So, what is faith? You'll find the Bible definition of this in Paul's writings, a normal place that you would expect to find it, the faith chapter, Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And if you go to the dictionary to get a definition of it, this is what you might find. Faith is the assurance that the things revealed and promised in the Word, notice it's capital W, are true, even though unseen, and gives the believer a conviction that what he expects in faith will come to pass. And of course, synonyms, you have words like trust and belief and hope and expectation, confidence, conviction, reality. One I like the best out of all of these is inner certainty. It's an inner certainty. You really know that it's going to happen. I also, when I was looking at this, went to several different Bible translations for Hebrews chapter 11. And I found another one that I liked with verse 1 that says things, same thing, but slightly different. I like the words that it uses. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. I like that, the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. So, first of all, faith is trusting God completely that the things that you are hoping for are 100% real and that God has provided enough evidence for you to believe that. In one place I read that faith is like a deed to a piece of property. It's proof that you actually own it. Ellen White said, God has given sufficient evidence upon which to base faith if we wish to believe. In the last days, the earth will be almost destitute of true faith. So faith is something that is really important for us, particularly in the last days, because there's not going to be very much of it around. Jesus' life and his death are probably the greatest example of faith that we can look at. Abraham's willingness to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice is frequently looked at as one of the greatest acts of faith. Now, everything that God does, Satan has a counterfeit for. And Satan's counterfeit for faith is presumption. Presumption believes that God doesn't really mean everything that he says. Today you hear people saying things like, God's love is too great to punish all of the wicked. And at the last minute, God's going to change his mind and save everybody. I've heard those things. Those are common beliefs today. Adam and Eve thought that. When they committed their sin, they really thought that God would overlook it. Just this tiny little thing that they did, that he would overlook it. But he couldn't. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's why you can completely, 100%, trust him. So that's what faith is. Now, why do you need faith? And again, we'll look at a verse from Hebrews chapter 11, this time verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we see three things in this verse. First of all, you can't please God without believing that he exists. So that's the first thing. Second, God is going to reward his followers. And third, you must want to find him. You must seek him diligently. The world teaches us that the world is millions of years old and that you have just, you know, evolved from something else, and that this life is all you're going to get. When you die, that's it. But the Bible teaches us that we were made in the image of God, and he has plans for you, and that those plans will last throughout eternity. So why do you need faith? Well, without faith in God, you have no future beyond this life. And that's true. Martin Luther was a monk in the Catholic Church back in the 1500s, about 500 years ago. We just celebrated the 500th anniversary of his nailing those 95 theses to the door of the Wittenberg Church. But he was given the opportunity to go to Rome. He was actually it was a job he was doing. But when he got there, he saw a lot of things he didn't understand, things that he was shocked were happening. But while he was there, he wanted to do the penance. At that point in his life, he felt that he had to do these penance to be good enough for God to save him. And supposedly, they had a staircase there in Rome that was the staircase that was at the palace of Pilate when Jesus was tried. And you would get credit in heaven for walking up those on your knees. And what you would do is you start at the bottom and you go up the one next first step, and then you would pray, and then you go the next step, and then you would pray, and on up all the way to the top. Well, he was partway up when a voice spoke to him. And we're going to look at what that voice said in a minute. You'll find it in one of the only two verses in the Old Testament that uses the word faith. That's Habakkuk 2:4. And then you'll find it three times in the New Testament, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38. The very same words. So the three in the New Testament are really just reiterating what Habakkuk said in the Old Testament. The just shall live by faith. That's what Martin Luther heard. An angel, I'm sure, spoke that to him. The Holy Spirit spoke into his mind something. He heard it, and it changed his life. He didn't finish going up those stairs on his knees. He stood up, walked out, and never looked back. And he started the Protestant Reformation in Germany. Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. You need faith to get through the hard times. Joseph needed faith when he was sold as a slave and went into Egypt. There were many things that happened to him, and he needed faith to see him through all of those things. David needed faith when he stood in front of Goliath and killed him. Daniel needed faith, and his three friends needed faith when they were put into the lion's den and the fiery furnace. And you need faith to get you out of the hard times in your life also. Jesus was talking to the Pharisees one day, and he was intimating that he was the Messiah. He didn't use that word, but he made it very plain that that's what he was talking about, that he was the Messiah, that he was the one that God had sent, that God was his Father. And they wouldn't believe him. And this is what he told them in John 8:24. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe, that is, have faith, that I am he, you will indeed die in your sins. The greatest reason why you and I need faith is that we don't want to die in our sins. I want to live forever, and I hope that you do too. So, where does faith come from? Well, Paul makes it very clear in Ephesians 2:8-9. He says, for by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So faith is a gift that God has given to you. Galatians 5 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So it's a fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that gives us that faith. And so faith is one of those gifts. Romans 12:3 says, for I say, though through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So nobody can ever say they don't have faith, that God hasn't given them some, because God has given every person faith. So now, we've talked about the importance of what it is, the importance of it, but how can you get faith to grow? The Bible says, given every man a portion. Well, can you get that portion to be more? Can you grow it? Romans 10:17 says, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, faith has something to do with the Bible, with God's word. And it is the source of your faith. As you hear the Bible, as you read the Bible, as you study the Bible, your faith will grow. But that's not everything. There's still more. James 2:22 says, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? So faith is made perfect by your works. You have to do something that is an expression of your faith. James 2:20 says, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? So the two go hand in hand. You have to have faith, but you also have to have works. There are a lot of people today that say that all you have to do is have faith. All you have to do is say, I believe in Jesus. And then after that, they pretty much live the way they always have lived. I've acknowledged that I believe in Jesus, and that's all I need, and he's going to save me. So I can continue to do the things I normally do. Others say that works are the thing that's most important. And so they do lots and lots of good works, believing that every time they do a good work, there's some credit put on their bill in heaven that knocks off some of the sins that they have committed. And that if they do enough good works, they will get to heaven. Both of those are wrong. You have to have both of those things, faith and works. But there's even one more thing than that. Works are great, but it has to do a lot with why are you doing it? Motive is very, very important. Samuel was choosing the next king. Saul had shown himself to be unfit to be the king, and God sent Samuel to pick the next king to anoint him. And he goes to Jesse. He's sent there, and Jesse has a bunch of sons there, and he starts looking through the sons, and Samuel thinks that, oh, this first one, you know, he's tall and good-looking and strong, and he would make a great king, you know. And the Lord said, nope, not him. And he goes down through all of the sons, and finally, he said, don't you have any more sons? And he said, oh, yeah, the runt is out in the pasture taking care of the sheep. And so they send for him, and he comes in, and God says, that's the one. And in all of that, Samuel learned something. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. He's talking about the other sons, particularly the first one. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. You and I, as humans, we can see other people and we can guess at their motives, but we don't really know. We can think that they're doing it because they've got a heart of gold, but that may not be it. God looks inside the heart and the mind, and He knows exactly why we do what we do. So God talks to us through His Word. We talk back to God through prayer. And we get to know God by going places and doing things with Him. That's our works. And so the question is, what are these works that God expects us to do? And we can find an answer for that in Matthew chapter 25. Jesus is talking about the end of the world and the final judgment. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Did you know that? That there was a kingdom prepared for you since the foundation of this world? For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. So these aren't hard things. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. This is something I constantly tried to get across to my students at school, was that whatever you do to someone else, Jesus looks at that act as if you did it to him. And when you look at it that way, what you do to other people takes on a whole new significance. And this is what Jesus is saying God uses as a criteria of whether you make it to heaven or not. Because the next part of this verse, we're not going to read it, but it talks about the same list of things being said to the goats, and that they didn't do those things, and that's why they're not going to heaven. One of my favorite authors has clicked it just way too soon, has a quote. And this is what she says. True faith, which relies wholly on Christ, will be manifest by obedience to all the requirements of God. Let me say that again. True faith, which relies wholly upon Christ, will be manifest by obedience to all the requirements of God. So obedience is important in this. And she goes on, from Adam's day to the present time, the great controversy has been concerning obedience to God's law. The scriptures declare that by works is faith made perfect, and that without the works of obedience, faith is dead. So obedience is key to our growing in faith. Okay, now, what good is faith? For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. That's why I like that song, Faith is the Victory. Because it is. It's how we're going to make it out of this life and this world into the next. You can be victorious in your life here on earth. One of my favorite Bible verses tells us the reward that God is planning for his people. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. That's faith. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus has got a mansion. It's already prepared. It's empty right now. He's got a whole city full of mansions. They're all empty right now except for a couple. Enoch's there, Elijah's there, Moses is there. We know a few that are there. But basically the city is empty waiting for us. We already looked at this verse, but I want to look at it again for just a moment. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you want to please God? Well, then you must have faith. So that's why it's good. Good to have it. And our last question, how do you know if you have faith? James 2:18 says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Works can be a proof that you have faith. But again, you have to remember, motive is very important in this. And James 2:22 says, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. So as we do those works, it changes us. We become more like Jesus. We follow in his footsteps, doing what Jesus did, and it gets us closer and closer to perfection. You must follow Jesus' example, because he went about doing good. Another quote, when the faith we accept destroys selfishness and pretense. Okay, when faith destroys selfishness and pretense, when it leads us to seek God's glory and not our own, we may know that it is of the right order. So if your faith is destroying selfishness in you and pretense in you and is leading you to glorify God and praise his name and bring glory to his name, then it's probably going the right direction. Finishing the quote, Father, glorify thy name. That's the quote we have on the screen. That was the keynote of Christ's life. And if we follow him, this will be the keynote of our life. So this needs to be the keynote of your life and my life. Father, glorify thy name. I'd like to challenge you to do some homework. I'm a teacher. I like to give homework. But this is good. We need to be in God's Word every day anyway. But I would encourage you to take some time to read two chapters in particular. And that's Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. And the other one is James chapter 2. The two chapters in the Bible that talk about faith the very, very most. And, you know, if you look at chapter 11 in Hebrews, and you look at the list of people there, it's amazing. I went through the list, and I found a drunkard. I found a liar, a couple of polygamists, a couple of people who were very weak in their faith, a womanizer, a couple of murderers, a harlot, people who didn't raise their children to follow in their footsteps properly. And these are in this list of God's faithful. That gives me hope. I can look through there and I say, oh, wow, there was somebody that's on his faith list that they did some of the things that I've done. And they're going to be saved. And I have hope that I can change and I can be saved too. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let's pray. Father, again, we want to bow before you. You are the great God, the creator, the sustainer, the redeemer. And Lord, we believe in you. We have faith in you. And we know that our faith needs to grow. We need to be more like Jesus. And we ask today that you will take the little faith that we have, that you will cause it to grow, that we can do the works of Jesus, that we can follow in his footsteps, preparing ourselves and preparing those around us to be ready for your soon coming. Be with us as we go from this place, that we can bless others, and that we can always bring honor and glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray, and your will be done in all things. Amen.